It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Big Bad Daily Line. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, here's the 1-2 to Verdugo. Breaking ball, cut on a miss. Strike three. Ball game over. World Series over. Dodgers win. Los Angeles is the new champion. And they're going nuts on the field. I don't blame them. They erased a 5-0 lead tonight. The Yankees helped. And the Dodgers win the ball game by the score of 7-6.
You just wanted that. That's you being petty.
That's Yankees radio. John, come on, give us the call. The Yankees lose.
You're just being petty.
After a 5-0 lead, the Yankees lose. Oh, that
shit. He was right about something. They gave that lead away. They basically gift wrapped that lead.
Like, I thought the Yankees losing on their home field and getting swept would have been great. I think this was better. Because it's like, hey guys, if we just win two more, like, all you have to do is win one more to get you to one more, and you have a chance. And now you're going back to L.A. with a chance, because we're up 5-0. Oh, it's 5-5? What happened? An error? Dumb things by the pitcher not covering first base?
Two errors.
Yeah. So, lots of things in that game. I had the under, so I'm obviously not
They made
not
three,
happy.
But two of them was in one inning, right?
Yeah.
Judge and Volpe.
Volpe made this, yeah.
Yeah, and Coles was in the same thing, too.
That's they don't call error. That an error, though, because...
That's not an error.
That's an error.
Which, yeah. technically speaking... Literally, they had three errors.
Mm-hmm.
But like, technically speaking, they had three
errors. That's like when you misjudge a fly ball, it's not an error.
Yeah. Like, you know, what Juan Soto did the entire season and got was the eligible for a gold
lead glove.
Yeah.
You get the lead glove.
Yes. Yeah. It's so funny. He can't get to those balls because he's in the wrong place. He went in when he should have went back.
But to Joe's point, why is that not an error? Him covering first base.
Because you can't assume it. You can't assume that he makes the play and beats the guy there. You can't it's dumb. It's the same thing with the double play.
Double play, yeah.
All right, so yesterday was interesting for me. Pissed off at the Grizzlies, is it looked like they just gave up and they didn't care in the second half. Talked about the Cavs beating the Lakers. They took them to pound town.
Yes.
Bronny got in the game, scored his first basket. If you think that's a cool moment, he'd grown up in Ohio. Sure, it had to be cool for him, but not that you really care about that. The college football game.
I do. I love it. It was a good moment.
Well, the college football game, your team pissed me off, Rob.
Why?
Liberty's playing Jacksonville State. We start off with two touchdowns scored in the first 5 minutes of the game. So when you have the over, that's a good thing. Liberty gets the ball, drives all the way down into the red zone, turns it over on a dumb pitch. Then Jacksonville State gets the ball, drives all the way down in the red zone, fumbles it on a sack. And you're going, is this really what we're going to do? Is this going to happen? Next drive? Drive all the way to the opponent's 40. You're like, okay, so you're in that range where you might go for it. Ends up being 4th and 27. They can't kick a field goal. They can't go for it, so they punt it. It was just a frustrating night of feeling like you were very close, but things were happening in the red zone. I hate saying this, and nobody wants to hear it, but you can't handicap those things. Like, you can say, hey, this team turns the ball over at least once a game, but you don't know if that's going to take points off the board. Maybe put points on the board if you do it in your own territory. These are the things that, you know, the odd things that can affect a game that you really don't know they're going to happen. So, just one of those weird things with that.
It was weird. I hate it. Who won the game? Liberty lost the game.
Yeah. And, by the way, that's only Liberty's third loss in the next in the past 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And then one of the losses.
First time they lost multiple games in a year in a while.
They lost to Kennesaw State, and just like, how does that happen?
I think the wheels came off. I'm sorry. Get back to your game.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's fine. So some of the other things that happened last night, real quick, before we get into tonight's light slate. I had the Utah Hockey Club. They won. Had the New Jersey
Devils.
I hate
that name still.
Didn't work out for me. But
they're playing well, actually.
Yeah. So I was 2-3 in my top plays last night. I feel like I... a broken record coming in and saying 2-3. I need to have one of these dominant winning nights that I haven't had it in like 2 weeks. There have been a couple of winning nights, but it has not been a nice few weeks for me, to say the least. Now, what are we going to look at today?
Well, do like the other gambling guys do. Lie about it. Trying to fix it, tilt it a little bit.
I don't have that in me. And like, there are certain people, again, people can say what they want. There are certain people when they talk about this, like I could come in and say, my top play last night, I hit it. And just focus on that, where everybody's going to listen and go, man, he hit his top play, not knowing that I had a losing night. The same thing happens in baseball when these guys give out these minus 300 favorites. I saw a guy giving out a three-team parlay with three teams on the money line. It was minus 350, and you're telling people to pay you for that? A parlay that's minus 350? So you mean to tell me, hey, take all the three biggest favorites on the board and bet them and they're all going to win outright? Like, it's lame.
What do you win for them? I mean, that's like...
Well, you're going to... You'd have to lay $300 to win 100, or
right.
330 to win 100. And what they're not telling you is, for every three wins they get, one loss knocks it out.
Yeah.
So you've got to win four for every one you lose just to end up on the positive end. And it doesn't work that way. But... I like the Jets a lot tonight. We have a short week for Houston. Rob was on it earlier, said he thought Stephon Diggs was going to be out for the year. He is. Nico Collins is out for them. That leaves Tank Dell. And who else they're going to throw the football to? Probably the running backs. Joe Mixon, I don't know that he's going to... Like, I keep waiting for it. He's looked good against the Colts twice. I don't know if he's going to look good on a short week. Is he banged up this week as well? So you're asking CJ Stroud to do a lot. Their defense hasn't been great the past couple weeks. I'm doing it again. I'm going to make myself throw up picking the Jets to win a game. They're favored tonight.
I know. I saw.
Minus 1.5. I like the Jets. Who do you guys like tonight?
I'm going to watch Biff Poggi's Charlotte team win.
No, they're not. They're 14-point underdogs.
Well, I'm going to watch them.
Are you watching with his cutoff sweatshirt?
I'm going to watch them go up against Tulane.
Who are you taking tonight for our picks? Jets?
I just can't.
Or Texans?
I just can't.
I know who Ed's taking.
I just can't take the Jets.
It's so hard for me to take the Jets.
Hey, right Joe, now. Go, I'm on record right now. I'm taking Jets opponents for the rest of the year.
Joe, I want to do what Rob did last week. So I want to wait to find out who wins tonight to tell you who I'm
taking.
But
did I send it on time or not, Joe?
I
sent it before the 1 o'clock game, and it was a 4 o'clock game.
We make picks during the week,
not
on Sunday.
I didn't know the status of the most important player on the field.
Guess what? Neither did we. We
so
still
wait.
Made the pick.
You should have waited.
No.
Let me ask you a question.
No.
You said earlier the NBA makes you come out a half hour before the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get the wait. Why can't I?
Because we're doing the segment on Thursday.
But if they wait, why can't I wait?
Well, you're not on the same level as them. Rob Long is not the NBA.
I know about the NBA. I'm the person waiting for the NFL to choose.
No. By the way, the other plays I like tonight, because there's not many. I do like Tulane to knock off.
That made no sense.
What?
Rob Long is not the NBA. I'm not making a decision.
You're comparing it to the NBA.
I'm comparing it to the guy who's the gambler who's waiting for the NBA to put out money.
You didn't put any money down.
Don't matter.
The same thing.
Don't matter.
You don't know. Anyway, I like Tulane tonight in college football. I like the Clippers. People are not focusing on this Clippers team. They've been playing great basketball with James Harden looking like the old James Harden again.
Not the old James
Harden. Not fat James Harden.
No. And Boston and Carolina under 5.5. I'll have some prop plays later. I do want to tell people, coming up this hour, we're going to give away Disturbed tickets. Ooh, ah.
You better stop doubting James Harden.
David Draymond?
One of the more prolific scorers of his era.
March 17th, Capital One Arena. When you hear us tell you to call in, that's when you call in. Not right now, but we'll give away
Disturbed
a pair coming up
St. Patrick's Day.
Sean Syed joins us at 9:30. But on the other side, did the Colts fail Anthony Richardson? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm the Fan.
Shane made the decision to switch quarterbacks. How did he explain it to you? Like, why was the decision made? How did he explain that to you?
He just told me that they were going to go with Joe, you know, and that was that. And, you know, I just had to, you know, just take the information and just, you know, just grow.
Did he explain why?
No, not necessarily.
I want to go back to something Anthony Richardson said. What he asked, did he explain to you why? What does not necessarily mean, Ed? Did he or did he not? What is no, not necessarily? What does that mean?
I don't know. Seriously, I don't know with that because not if you did or you didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, is your response part of the reason you're benched?
But
you mean you understand what I'm saying? That kind of, you know, relaxed attitude.
To his point, did they come to him and say, hey, we're going with Joe Flacco because we think he gives us a better chance to win? That could be the reasoning, but he may not take it as that. You know, he may look at it and say, okay, well, what's the reason why I'm getting benched? What did I do?
Because Joe Flacco gives us a better chance to win, if they said that.
I'm saying.
If they said that. Yeah, but to me, not necessarily means, yeah, they told you why. You may not agree with it. You may not like it, but they told you why. You may ask a follow-up question to the reason, and they didn't give you the answer you want. But to me, not necessarily. He represents a big issue with not all athletes, because a lot of these athletes are completely dedicated and committed. You can tell by the work they put in. But he just seems to take a lot for granted to me. He seems to be that guy. And I saw a stat, and I sent this to Joe yesterday. Let me read this guy to you guys. This is what we came up with this one. There was a stat yesterday that said the NFL has a problem with developing quarterbacks. And they looked at all the quarterbacks that have been benched. Richardson, 22. Bryce Young, 23, Trey Lance, 24, Justin Fields, 25, Will Levis, 25, Zach Wilson, 25, Mac Jones, 26, Kenny Pickett, 26. My response to that would be the opposite. Every last one of those guys, we all said, Jeremy, that was a reach in the draft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a problem developing quarterbacks. This is a problem drafting these guys. Yeah. These were all reaches. Look at all the young quarterbacks that succeeded. Patrick Mahomes became a starter his second year and never got benched. Lamar Jackson became a starter his first year and never got benched.
Josh Allen.
You know what I mean? The kid out with the Chargers.
Tua.
Yeah, Tua, the kid out with the Chargers, Herbert. What about these 20-something-year-old guys that got their jobs and kept it? To me, that's a horrible post because that is the example of quarterbacks who were drafted in positions that they shouldn't have been drafted. Trey Lance was a huge reach.
Yeah. Well, this is what teams do. They convince themselves we need a quarterback. Oh, we're only going to get the fourth best one. Let's watch film on them. Yeah, I could see this working out. And then they convince themselves they should draft him when realistically, this is what I get into. I feel like when you know it, that's when you go get the guy.
Yes.
When you feel that. But why would you? I understand if you need a quarterback, but why would you reach for a guy that's only going to put you further behind the eight ball
in a salary cap league? You think the Washington Commanders have a quarterback development problem down there?
Yeah.
That young kid is getting it done.
Yeah, he's ready.
That young kid is an MVP candidate in his rookie year.
Yeah.
That is a horrible post. The NFL has a problem with developing quarterbacks. No. Some front offices have a problem in drafting quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's It's a pretty ridiculous statement, I gotta say. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, that's really dumb. I mean, especially given, you know, who Washington just picked up and then Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Quarterbacks.
Right out of the box.
Franchises who have quarterbacks still in their 20s. The Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Texans, Jaguars mm-hmm. still. These are franchise quarterbacks. The Broncos have found theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs.
I don't think the Broncos.
Chargers. They think they found theirs. And these, I mean, these are young quarterbacks. What about the Eagles? The Commanders? That's a horrible take. That's an absolutely horrible. I think the Colts, in my opinion, Jeremy, they didn't fail Anthony Richardson. They failed themselves.
That's fair.
He was a huge question mark. Yes. Huge.
Well, this goes back to what I said earlier this week when we were talking about it, that you can look at it, and when Rob brought up, if he lost the locker room, I totally get this. But he can't be a part of your future because I don't think you figured that out after the fact, mm-hmm. especially with that same locker room. But you gave him 10. You knew he was a project, and you gave him 10 games. Like, in my opinion, you win with him or you fail with him. If you fail with him, he gives you a better chance to find his replacement the next time around.
But he was the biggest boom or bust in the draft. It was like his physical skills were so impressive, but it troubled being a quarterback.
You know what this looks like to me? A GM that wanted a quarterback and the coach didn't. And I can make any decisions that I want to make in season. Now I'm going to make this decision in season. I didn't want this kid in the first place.
Yeah.
So now, let him play long enough to get to the point where, hey, we're in the playoff race. You want to mess around with this thing, or you want to start Flacco and win some games? That's what it looks like to me. Here's Shane Steichen on whether or not they actually told this young man what was going on.
I can't speak for our team.
You can't?
Yeah.
You're the head coach.
This is whether or not the team was unified. I'm sorry. This is whether or not the team was unified. You said, I can't speak for our team.
All right. That makes
different answer. I'm sorry.
That's just fun. I can't speak. You're the only one that can.
He is the coach. Shouldn't you know if the team is unified or not? Yes. You do speak for the team.
No. I mean, that would suggest that he polled the locker room before he made that decision. All coaches don't ask the team before they make decisions.
It's still not, but it doesn't sound like it was a unified, not everybody agrees with the decision.
I'm sure everybody's never going to agree. Unless you were just a flaming a-hole, a bench and a quarterback. I'm sure you're not going to have a whole team unified on making a decision like that.
No, you didn't have it here. You think with Lamar. I mean, it's. I don't think you ever get them unified.
What did Terrell Suggs say? Joe Flacco was his quarterback.
His guy. Yeah.
You weren't unified on that. You think the Pittsburgh Steelers are unified on Russell Wilson taking the job? I don't think so. That's a coach that has to make that decision.
Cleveland. I mean, Watson played well beyond, I'm sure, where the coach wanted to play. Didn't the coach want Flacco?
I think what happened there was that Stefanski said all the right things because you don't want to badmouth who's telling you he's got to play. But they wanted to get every bit out of Deshaun Watson to see that he couldn't play. And there was nobody, I'm not talking about celebrating an injury, there was nobody that was happier when this decision was made than a bunch of those people in that locker room.
Can we say right now that Deshaun Watson has probably played his last snap with the Cleveland Browns.
I think so.
And Stefanski, who was on the hot seat, don't let them start winning. Because he's going to come off of that hot seat, and whoever wanted him is now going to be in the spotlight.
Do you think he's a good coach?
Stefanski? Yes.
I like him.
I think he was dealt a bad. Dude, it's nothing. Okay, Jeremy, you are an NBA head coach.
Yes.
I am the GM. I'm telling you the point guard that I want you to play with. That point guard doesn't fit your style. You don't even like him. How successful are you going to be?
It's going to be terrible. Because I either have to adjust to what you want me to be as an offense, or
which is not natural for you.
Yeah, square peg in a round hole and try to make that damn thing fit.
So he was told this is who we want to be your quarterback. That dog don't hunt for me. Doesn't matter. Make him hunt. That's not a good position to be in as a head coach.
No.
Let's go to Woodbury and get Joe. What's up, Joe?
I just want to commend you on what you were saying. That's the only reason I called in, because you're right, man. Quarterbacks being developed by the team. You're supposed to be a quarterback in college. And I'm thinking of all the other guys that were reached. What was the guy that came out of was it Kansas State? I can't remember his name. He was a brother, but he was a reach.
How long ago was this?
Are you thinking of
How long ago was this?
The Tampa Bay Bucks quarterback for a while there.
Oh, yeah. Freeman. Josh Freeman.
Yeah, man, it's a lot of them that's been a reach. And then I'm sitting there thinking about the quarterback that I always thought that be nice if the Ravens had him. But when he got here, he seemed like he was a reach, but he was determined to become great. And then we always – the only thing we ever think about when you play sports, are you playing it because your mother put you in it or you're determined to be good at it? Because a lot of players, you know, this young generation, like you said one day, Rob, about the young men today, you know, it's because of the skinny jeans, the way they act, the way they act, you know. But, you know, it's their testosterone level low because I think they just get into the game to be in the game. They don't desire to be great. It's money, you know. Or if I get in there, I can make me some money. But the desire to be great, that's what I love about Lamar. His desire is to be great, to improve, and do everything. You know, we went back up in the first round to get him. And everybody thought that was a reach for
Joe,
the Ravens.
But we got run, man. Thanks a lot for the call, man. Real quick, Josh Freeman, someone we used to have the text, we could read it.
Yeah.
Someone texted into the show one day and said, Josh Freeman looks like the love child of me and Jen Royal. Joe LaCroix's Hardcore 945. But on the other side, Super Sports' own Sean Syed joins us. Stats and Schemes podcast up next on The Fan. 9:31 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Joining us right now from Super Sports, Stats and Schemes podcast, he's Sean Syed. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Sean. Baltimore Ravens, it's not my opinion, it's statistically one of the more prolific offenses in all the NFL. And they added another piece, Deontay Johnson, to this wide receiver room. How much better and more unstoppable would this Ravens offense be now?
You know, Deontay Johnson is really good at separating from cornerbacks on the outside, and that's a really great skill set to have for a Ravens offense where they're going to get a ton of man coverage as teams are trying their best to find a way to really stop that running game. So I really like that particular skill set. I do always wonder, you know, when a team trades a player away, it feels like the team that is trading that player away, the Panthers in this case, maybe knows a little bit more about the player than the Ravens do at this point. So you hope that he comes in and everything is able to mesh well with that group. But just from a skill set perspective, that's a really nice thing to add here where we think to that Browns loss, unfortunately, you get a bunch of drop passes. And I think Deontay Johnson's going to be a player that late in the season when the Ravens are playing deep into the playoffs, he's going to be open, and Lamar Jackson is going to be able to find him.
One of the things that we're frustrated with here is a lack of pressure that the Ravens are getting on quarterbacks. I know they lost Jadeveon Clowney and Patrick Queen's, you know, the now Steeler, but I don't believe that's the reason. Is there anything you see or do you agree with me at all, actually?
You know, it's interesting when I watch the film and I think back to last year where it felt like Mike McDonald's superpower was just getting awesome performances from all of these guys. And Clowney is out of there, but everyone just drops off just a touch in their pressure percentage. And now, I mean, they were ninth in pressure rate last year. They're like 25th or 26th this year. That's really, to me, the biggest reason, actually, why this defense is struggling, even though you look at some of the issues in the secondary. And for me, it feels like for a team that can absolutely challenge the Chiefs this year, we saw it happen early in the season, and it feels like the Ravens are just getting better than that. It feels like you have to make a move at that edge rusher spot just to add a little bit of juice in that room.
So let's talk about, I mean, Ed brought up the pass rush. When you're watching it on film, because it was Jameis Winston last week, we saw the dropped interceptions, as you mentioned. Is this more of a pass rush problem, more of a cornerback problem, in your opinion? Or, I mean, do they both deserve a lion's share of the blame?
You know, it has to be a little bit of both. When I look back at that Browns film, I mean, Winston, he's taking his drops. He's taking three steps. He's hanging out there a little bit. He's throwing open receivers, so it felt like a combination of both. But for me going forward, I would rather prioritize that pass rush because, again, you have a bunch of dropped interceptions that could have sealed that game, and there's just a lot of weird things that are happening in that game between the fourth and one miss on offense, between obviously a bunch of dropped passes on some key downs. So I think in the long run, prioritizing that pass rush, certainly for this season, I think that has more of an effect because that pressure can help out that coverage where you're going to be playing a lot of zone coverage anyway. And look, there's going to be times where the offense is going to pick you apart. Of course, when you're in zone coverage, when you're when you have injuries at cornerback. But I just really think that having a pass rush that is able to affect the quarterback more, that just has more positive effect in the long run.
Here is Sean Syed from Stats and Scheme Podcast. Sean, Ravens with Lamar Jackson in that backfield along with the most dominant running back right now in the game, and Derrick Henry. Do you recall statistically to have two players, a quarterback and a running back, that would produce at the level that he's going to produce? You look at Lamar on pace for 4,000 yards, 1,000 yards rushing, and also Derrick Henry on pace for almost 2,000 yards rushing.
I mean, it's so awesome. You just look at all the historic quarterback seasons, whether you look at Colin Kaepernick, you look at Cam Newton, you look at Mike Vick, it feels like you don't get as lucky sometimes having a running back that is that good. And it feels like you can count on every single game having one just awesome, awesome, awesome explosive play. And that's why I think it's so interesting you add Diontae Johnson, where this run game is so good. If you're a defense, you have to spend so many resources. You have to put so many players in the box to try and stop this. And, hey, also Lamar Jackson is playing better than his MVP season. So when I look at how to defend this offense, sometimes it feels like the only way to defend them is hope that you get a bunch of weird angles of the sun that cause drops down the field. So it's just such a fun offense to watch week to week. And it makes me glad that the Ravens made that move because, I think all GMs feel like, hey, we want to be kind of chasing the championship at the end of the season, but this team is clearly all in, and they should be because they absolutely have the talent on offense where even when the defense is falling off a little bit, put together between the offense and defense, it is just like it is a sustainable championship contender in this league.
I felt they had the best personnel in the league last year and going to this year. The defense obviously is a cause for concern for a lot of people. I still think the team is really good. I guess the question, do you think they can turn this defense around before the trade deadline with picking up a pass rush or et cetera? Or are they going to have to win their games 35-27 for the rest of the year?
It as a just a team overall, if you're a top end unit offense, a lot of times you only need kind of that middle of the road defense or getting into that 12th ranking as opposed to being really a top five spot. And to me, it's more can Zach Orr continue to just mesh everything together where he can be a great game planner in the playoffs. It does feel like this is an offense-led unit. I don't think we need to pretend about that, where last year there were certainly times where it did feel like it was defense first. But I'm fine with this team kind of shifting more towards, hey, you're real, real superstars are going to be on that offensive end, and then you're going to get some plays from the defense. Kyle Hamilton's going to come down with those interceptions, and that's enough to sort of flip it. So I think it's going to be a little bit of those shootouts. You're definitely going to have to see that. But the Ravens, I think, are more than happy to do that. And then you can maybe get a little bit of variance where you're just forcing that interception. You're getting enough pressure. You force a sack fumble, and you're really able to move forward. But look, when I look at the rest of the AFC, I certainly think the Chiefs belong at the top. I think it's hard to kind of argue that. But when you look at that second spot, even with the Bills improving, I think doing a lot of things well, obviously they add Amari Cooper. I mean, you look back to that Bills-Ravens game, Ravens didn't have any issues getting pressure there. So that will be just an interesting back and forth going through the rest of the season.
I don't know how much you've got to see them, but the Broncos come to town on Sunday. What are your thoughts on how they match up with each other?
Bo Nix played his best game of his career last week, so I do think that'll be interesting. I think there's still a lot of issues for Bo Nix in his game overall as a rookie, but that'll be just a fun thing, I think, to look at on film this week. But the Broncos defense loves to blitz. Really, really wants to blitz you as a quarterback. And let me tell you who's awesome against the blitz is Lamar Jackson. So that's going to be a really fun matchup. For the Broncos defense has been excellent this year. I do wonder if the Broncos just end up rushing four and they're really able to mess around with the Ravens offensive line. But just from an overall perspective, thinking about the Broncos offense as a whole, this team is it's just not in the same class of team to me as the Ravens, even with, the Broncos are sitting at 5-3 right now. Of course, the Ravens are at 5-3 as well. So you hope that some of the plays last week where Jameis was just able to kind of hang out and throw those balls down the field, that's going to be a little bit more difficult, I think, for Bo Nix, even if on the opposite side, it's going to be a good matchup between the Broncos defense and Ravens offense.
There he is, Sean Syed. Tell us all about Stats and Schemes podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast where we go through every single game. We look at it from a stats perspective. We look at it from a scheme perspective. We have a little bit of fun. We hopefully learn more about the game of football, and you can always check out my Monday morning mashup on SoomerSports.com. I recap all the fun things that happen from Football Sunday.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
About it. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You got something to give away over there?
Yeah, we're going to give away Disturbed tickets. March 17th next year at Capital One Arena. Two per. So call in now, 410-583-1057, and Joe will hook you up.
And Ed wrapping up his week in a few minutes, man. Look at that.
Yes, sir.
Friday Eve to us, not to you. It's just Friday. And you're going to Florida. You make me sick.
Go see my surgeon. It's not the same.
It's still Florida. You step off that plane, the weather, your
hurricane
air you breathe. Man. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. Jeremy, can I ask you a question before we hang up on Rashawn?
Yeah.
Who's better, Humphrey or Humphreys?
Humphreys. I mean, you got more than
letters.
One of them. Yeah. There's two of them.
Oh, wow, man.
All right, Rashawn.
What did our guy, what was the name that got butchered yesterday? What did he call the, do you remember? Oh, I'm just putting everybody on the spot now. You probably don't even remember the moment when he butchered the dude's name because I said, yeah, remember when Antoine Bolden was here and we, what were all the, Jeremy Guntree? We had all these different names. People would screw up everyone's name on their team.
Joe, he's asking me if I remember.
I do have a drop of Dave from Salisbury calling him Adley Russ Muffin.
Oh, do you? Can you play it? Or do you have it ready?
Adley Russ.
This I love when this happens. Like Rashawn, I couldn't tell if he was joking the first time he was calling him about sore ass and all these other guys. Like,
he was not. Yeah. He was not. Suarez.
You know what I saw yesterday? They had names. Jackson Street downtown by me. There's above the city street sign. This is Jackson. Above it is a purple sign that says Lamar, and underneath an orange one says Holiday.
Really?
Yeah, somebody went and bought their own and hung them up on.
Nice.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's kind of cool.
That is cool.
All right, here is this it?
Yeah. Hold on one second. This is the whole thing.
The new catcher that the Orioles drafted out of Oregon State, Adley Russ Muffin.
Russ Muffin.
Adley Russ Muffin.
And you remember, he's the guy that started the Ron Flattery stuff. It wasn't Flaherty, it's Ron Flattery.
And that's the encore for the day. 410-583-1057. Hey, can I have a confession, man, before you leave the day?
Absolutely.
When you gave the whole Jackson Street and said the Lamar up above and Holiday below, when you said it, it was 655-ish. I didn't get what you were saying. When I heard it again just now.
Really?
I'm like, okay. I mean, Jeremy and Joe seem to get it, so let me just go along with this one. And when I heard it again, I'm like, I was a little, in my defense, I was not feeling well this morning. I explained that to you guys. I had a migraine headache, and I was pushing along. But now I'm feeling much better, and I got it. I did not
gotcha.
Catch one. When he said, I'm like, huh?
I just saw it yesterday. It was just saying, I was like, oh, that's cool.
Now I get it. So I agree with you. That's pretty cool. Ed, you will not be here tomorrow.
No, I will not. I will be at the surgeon in Tampa, my shoulder surgeon in Tampa, get my 6-month checkup.
Just remember, if you pass by Ebo, let me know. I'll Venmo you.
I might have time to stop through Tampa. In Temple Terrace, a little north of Tampa, but I might go.
If you go, ask for the house cigars at King Corona. I'm out of them. Just grab a couple.
The house cigars?
The house cigars. Grab a couple five.
If I go, I'll call you from there to make sure you got what you want.
Yeah. They are. The house cigars there are better than some of the expensive name brand ones, man.
Yeah.
Because they get them rolled right down the street, across the street.
You know, it's a King Corona at the International Mall.
Really?
Same company. Yeah, they opened a small place up there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So when I'm down South Tampa, that's where I go.
Now, by the way, this is hilarious. Macaulay Culkin
hilarious.
Dressed as Joe Burrow for Halloween.
Yep.
Now time for you to find out what we learned today. What you learned today, Edward?
Well, you kind of stole it from me. It's like, I just think it's so funny. People were making fun of Joe Burrow for years. I was looking like Macaulay Culkin, not looking old enough to play football and all this stuff. And now Macaulay Culkin comes up with his Halloween costume. It's just absolutely fantastic with him dressed as Joe Burrow. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I get it. I see it.
See, it's always fun when people lean into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't fight it. Yeah. Don't fight it. I mean, I'm never leaning into, what's his name?
Tone Loke.
No, I just don't. There's nothing. No. I'll lean into the singer that people say I look like.
Seal.
I'll lean into that.
What about Booger?
Seal.
I heard that a lot.
Booger McFarland?
I'm not leaning into
not
that.
Into that one.
See, there's all kinds of pock marks in his face.
Well, yeah, dude, minus that, it's cool. No big deal.
Yes, sir, Morose.
I'm cool.
He was kissed on the gray? Is that where he got kissed? On the rose?
What's wrong with that?
He's kissing.
He can do worse than Seal.
He's kissing some schnitzel.
Today is National Girl Scouts Founders Day. Jeremy, were you a Girl Scout?
No.
Okay. Get thrown out for
eating all the brownies.
There you go.
Today is also National Knock Knock Joke Day. You got a knock knock joke for us?
Come I on, gave you one earlier.
Give it to us now.
God, what's the other one?
You got another one?
Yeah, I got another one. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes Sean Connery.
There's also National Caramel Apple Day. I love caramel apple with the peanuts on top.
Yeah.
You can't have peanuts on top anymore.
No, no more peanuts for me. No more nuts.
Damn.
A couple of birthdays in sports today would have been the birthday of Brian Piccolo.
Aw.
Yeah. Fred McGriff turned 61 today.
Former the crime dog?
Yeah. Former NBA player Anthony Davis turns 56 today. Former NFL linebacker Lee Woodall turns 55 today. Former pitcher Steve Traxel turns 54 today. Didn't he play for us along with 10 other teams?
Traxel?
Yeah, wasn't he here for a couple of
years? Yeah.
I thought so.
The night I got into the fight with Eric Bedard, mm-hmm. Steve Traxel was there. I hung out with him the rest of the night talking to him. And then he said, hey, I introduced myself. And he goes, hey, I'm Steve. And I'm like, are you Steve Traxel? I didn't recognize the guy without a baseball hat on, which is so stupid, but that's how you see him every day.
2008, Joe?
2007, he got traded to the Cubs and then came back 2008.
Right, human rain delay.
Also former, yes, he was. Former Major League Baseball player David DeLucci celebrating the birthday today. And Oriole great legend Dave McNally would have celebrated the birthday today. I got two for you. Nick Saban and John Lucas. Both celebrating the birthday today, Ed. Who's older? Nick Saban and John Lucas.
John Lucas.
Jeremy.
I'm going to go Saban.
You're going Saban. Joseph.
I'm going Coach Saban.
Going Coach Saban. Today, John Lucas turns 71. Nick Saban turns 73.
When was that old?
It was, that's a good one.
That's a tough one.
Nick Saban doesn't look 73, does he?
No,
he doesn't act 73, does he? That's what coaching young kids does for you, man.
What
you got for us, Jeremy?
Yeah, last year I went trick-or-treating. I hope it's not the same as this year because I was telling dad jokes. I only got a few Snickers. No. No? Wasn't working for you?
No.
All right, here's one for you. What do priests say to get rid of insects in the church?
What?
Let us spray.
Not bad.
Why don't witches use the most popular dating apps? Because their ancestors had a bad experience with matches on Tinder.
That's a good one.
I used to be a banker, but I lost interest. You know what I noticed about butterflies? They're not what they used to be. There was a guy shot by a chickpea. They're saying it was a homicide. And lastly, how does a cucumber become a pickle? It goes through a jarring experience. here's a dumb one. If King Kong went to Hong Kong to play ping pong and died, what would they put on his coffin? A lid.
Right. Vinny and Haney up next. Bob Haney traveling solo today. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Thursday. Ed likes to call it Friday Eve, babe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.